Hey, Joe and Lou, it's Michael Bruce here, and leaving a voicemail as I'm driving down to New Jersey right now to record an episode of the Great Honeymooners podcast of all days, October 10th, 2025. Obviously, 70 years now since the Honeymooners started. This is phenomenal. And also, a recording on this day, it is Ron Albany's birthday. Full-grown nut, our own raccoon brother, Ron Albany, is his birthday today, and recording a podcast on his birthday. Happy birthday, Ron. Happy birthday to Ron. As we dance. So just wanted to say to all the full-grown nuts out there, have a piece of coconut cake today in celebration of Ron. Pour away mine host and have a toast, and a little toast, that is, and so anyway, happy birthday. Hope it's a great day, Ron Albanese. And I hope you get that bowling bag ball that you've always wanted. Honeymooners, hashtag 24/7. RX.
Testing, hot
out,
valve call. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Are you ready?
I'm all ready.
You on here? Come on, let's go inside and get started.
Dusty out in that hall.
Hey, get a load of butts over there.
Would I like to felt you just once. Dusty out in that hall.
What's my temperature, Norton?
Oh, come on, let's get moving.
Isn't there any lard here?
Yeah, about 300 pounds.
A 20% percentage.
And now, who is our next guest, please?
Herb, here's our next guest.
Ed Norton.
Ha ha! Watch this!
The Honeymooners Podcast. The only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time. With the stars, Joe Conte and Louis Fats.
If they ever institute a Nut of the Month Club, I've got a very good idea who's going to be January and February.
All right, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. It is the episode 143. Yes, welcome all you fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. This is I'm not reading the my intro because I had to do some fancy things here. But welcome, everybody. It is me and my pal Louis Fats.
Want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
It's kind of like your cue, man. Going, like, inexperienced actors.
How can they do this to me? If we'll all be seated now, we'll get on with it. It shouldn't take very long. This will be quite short. And there's no question as to its legality. So I shall skip the technicalities and get right down to the bequeaths.
So I'm impressed you can say that word.
Bequeaths?
Yes.
I listened to it like 14 times to make sure that's what he was saying.
Yeah. So how are you guys doing? Welcome all you raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary, all of you hurricanes. This is the only podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios at 328 Chauncey Street in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, also known as
Cedar Knolls, New Jersey.
That's right. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and leave a positive review, and we will read them. The home base is non-productive.com/honeymooners. And you can also listen and watch on the YouTube non-productive channel. And don't forget to like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page, Facebook group, and on Twitter at Honeymooner1. And if you want to leave a voicemail, I don't know if we have that yet. So email us at honeymoonerspodcast@aol.com. Ha ha! Aren't they ancient? And what's going on, Lou?
Joe, I'm going to move to Clifton.
Are you going to move to Clifton?
I don't like the way Cedar Knolls sounds.
Your furniture will look better there, too.
Well, I think all I got to do is bring these up a little bit more, and I think we'll have a little less echo.
There you go. Oh, yeah, it does.
Right?
A little less echo, yeah.
A little less echo, so, right?
Yep.
Beautiful. All right.
And pay the guy $100 to take the clicking out.
Take the echo out.
Not going to pay another $100 to take the echo out.
And of course, so we're doing episode 143, which is probably going to be a part two.
Yeah.
I mean, part one and part two. Because right now we have our pal Michael Bruce here.
Guest in the studio.
And Ron Albanese will be here shortly.
Yeah.
Yes. He's, I guess, what, opening his birthday presents or something? Yeah. Is that why he couldn't get here in time?
He's trying on his belt.
Yeah. And for him to miss an opportunity,
he's the biggest thing on TV. Yeah, so. Yeah.
For him to miss an opportunity to get in front of a microphone, you know he was busy. Yeah, you know he had something to do.
Something's
going on. Well, he likes to keep it low key. Yeah. So.
Yes, low key. Yeah, I know. He makes me look like the shy retiring type. That's how low key he is. But listen, we're gonna do it. It's gonna be a little bit different. It's gonna be one of those shows, except we don't have Steve with us because he had to do something with a band.
Yeah, he had a band. I thought it was the Ninja stuff, but it's not. It's a band, right?
His son is a percussionist, drummer, and like marching band and all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
So he's of your ilk.
Oh. Yeah, he's of your ilk.
I had no idea.
I didn't know either.
His son played drums. We were actually talking about it. He showed me some clips and stuff, and I was like, "Wow, it was cool,
man." Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Told him to keep up the good work. I was like, awesome.
Boy, yeah.
I mean, the kids, he's, what is it? That, like,
he's one of them ninja guys.
Ninja drummer.
He's running for president.
He's doing it all. He's got a frantic hot rod.
He's got a frantic hot rod.
Percolating. Out front of Steve's house.
He runs a bakery with Angel Cakes.
Bakery. Oh, how great is bakery? Bakery is just fantastic. So by the time they're hearing this, they'll already know that we're back in Louis's studio.
It's my studio.
That's right. It's a non-productive studio at Louis's apartment. Louis's flat. And look, I feel a little safer here for some reason.
I don't really.
you don't hear
Why?
Because you don't hear sirens every 15 minutes going down Route 46.
The paint actually looks like it's going to stay on the walls. It's right here. It's pretty good.
Yeah. So,
and when Michael walked up to the house, I had to point out the color of the house, which is a
pale green.
That's right.
It's a pale,
I painted just for this day.
And I said, I was like, this is why you have this house, isn't it? Yes. I could see him with a realtor be like, I'm looking for a pale green house.
I was actually going to bring an ice cream cone over just to change it up a little bit.
That's it for Christmas. I'm buying him a framed picture of an ice cream cone. Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. So when Ron gets here, we'll just continue, you know? So
we'll continue or discontinue. What'd you say?
I don't know. That sounds interesting.
Okay, here, I'll three leave.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll leave it to him.
He could do 4 hours of two theories, okay?
Oh, the twos plus one theory.
The twos plus one theory. Oh, my God. No, not twos plus one. Twos or more
twos
theory.
Twos or more. Like, two or like more. What Joe said, that means like everything.
That
like
means
two to infinity.
Yeah, that like, means everything. But this is going to be fun because it's been 3 months and now this is our second episode back and we get you guys minus Steven, but we'll definitely be doing, with all of us, we got some plans
for a big one.
Yeah. Did we mention it, on the previous episode, which was yesterday?
No, we didn't.
You want to mention it?
Okay, here's what we're going to do.
I love this. This is all Louis.
Here, they're going to come back to the studios here, but exactly. We're going to go, as I pound the table, upstairs. In my dining room, and we're going to have the first, what would we call it, Joe? I guess it'd be the executive committee dinner.
Dinner show. Award dinner show.
And Michael Bruce is going to film it. And we're going to be sitting down at the dining room table. We're going to be eating a big dinner, a nice Sunday gravy.
A little coffee on the side.
And we're just going to film it and let it fly.
I love it.
And it's going to be, we're going to have good eats, good laughs.
I think it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be hysterical.
We're
not even going to be able to eat. We're going to be laughing too much.
I know. I'm
telling you right now.
And I don't have to cook as much. I told Louis that what we should do, not only just film it like that, but if Ron wants to bring that, remember the thing we did at his house?
Yeah, with the camera.
With the camera, but of course, he had all the microphones off.
Yeah.
But that camera, it was in the middle of the table, and it filmed all of us. I think we should do that with the while we're eating, have that as the centerpiece so we could film us doing that too. No, so it could be a combination of both.
Good, perfect. I put the antipasto right on top.
So I want to point, well, hold on. So this is, listen, I got to point this out to all the listeners. So we're now doing this in this upscale neighborhood and this upscale studio in Lou's house now. And all of a sudden it's like Joe breaks out this equipment that's brand spanking new. We have these fancy microphones now. We got the fancy headphones. Everything's going on. Joe is putting all this together. He's like a computer tech over there, sound man, whatever.
Sure, sure.
And now Joe's so caught up in this, he's talking about multiple camera angles. To put like, hey, let's do four different camera angles, and we'll
like an overhead, like a 1930s Busby Berkeley movie.
Yeah,
where we're, well, our feet are regarding.
Yeah. He wants one of those cams like at the football game that floats around over the top of the huddle. Like,
I feel a little drone flying around
podcast. A lot of technology in this new podcast. Joe, what's going on over there?
No, I'm just checking to make sure that it like if there's anything I can tweak that I can see. Just
he's a maintenance engineer these days.
You are.
I am a maintenance engineer.
It's a layman's way of putting it.
I am not a wire connector. I'm a maintenance engineer, okay? But, yeah, so that is going to be much fun.
It's going to be hysterical.
And we might have to break that into five or six parts.
Okay, so we'll have different courses.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, oh, my God.
Dude, ridiculous. Think about that. We could have
our primi,
like, appetizer. Secondi. We would call, like, you know, first it would be appetizer.
Appetizer.
It would be like, you know, the Marshall's delicious, crammed in whatever.
Yep.
Then we could have the peas and carrots, and then the roast beef, and then the coffee and cake.
A little dessert and coffee.
Yeah,
and I love how he
lime pats, beans on the side.
Lime, yeah, I got the can of
hot dogs.
He pats his chest when he does that. Yes. Bill Davis. Oh, he goes,
yes,
a little bit of
a little dessert and coffee.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's absolutely perfect. But yeah, I know. We definitely wanted to get into a lot of different things today, but it's just going to be convoluted, and it'll just go off the rails as usual.
Totally
off the rails completely. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, you got me okay? You hear me? I feel like I hear the echo more than I do like my voice. And
yeah,
I hear a coming lot from echo. The room, yeah. Like from me, like give me whatever you did to Lou, do to me, I would say.
It might be because of the headphones.
Could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
Because yesterday, the first episode, it didn't seem like we were hearing as much echo. So I don't know if it's because there's more people in the room, but I am going to bring up the mic a little bit more.
I don't hear echo when he talks. I hear echo when I talk.
Yeah.
You get the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
But when Joe, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
When you're talking, I hear no echo.
Why is that?
I don't know.
That's all right.
I mean, when I'm talking, I hear echo. I hear myself.
Yeah, we sound like we're kind of like in the room.
Yes.
And Joe sounds like he's like up close. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like in the isolation booth at the 64,000 valley question. See the
paper.
Paper.
The podcast has evolved.
Maybe it's the angle that we're. How about like this? This.
Or maybe we got to get right.
Maybe.
Oh, we got it. You really got to get it.
I think it's okay.
You're right on top of this thing.
No.
Listen, it's fine. We're gonna have this for a while until we get this thing down pat. What do we got?
That's right. Oh my God! Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah.
Yes,
dude. That's yeah.
We don't know what it's all about, but we're gonna just mention it.
Something always good comes out of having lunch together in Jersey. Something. Not a lot, but something.
Something. Yeah. We got there, Joe.
No, I'm just looking here. Just trying to see if there's anything that I can tweak
to okay.
Make it do tweak something else. Yeah. But go ahead.
Hey,
you got to bring this up.
Okay, so we're going to...
Yeah.
You go, Michael. It was your idea.
Oh, well, you guys were talking about, you know, Bill Davis.
Oh, wait. You want to get that was a twos we were talking about.
That was.
Is that what it was?
That was
that's
a twos.
What got it going. Yeah.
So let's start the twos. We'll give the twos. Remember what it was? I do.
Oh, a two twos.
It was a tennis. Yeah, go ahead. It was a tennis twos.
Tennis twos.
So yeah,
twos theory for tennis.
Twos theory for tennis. And I gave it out to you guys. And, of course, you got the tennis racket when Ralph with the cornet, bringing all the stuff down to the basement, the tennis racket.
Yep.
And I said, okay, what was the next one? And you guys were
trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure out what it was. And it was Norton missing work because of the Davis Cup.
Yes, which is a tennis tournament.
That was the twos theory. So, so go ahead. And that evolved into?
It, yes. So we were thinking the Davis Cup. And we're like, oh, let's go. And then I said, wait a minute. We should use that at the convention next year. And when Louis does the trivia. The winner, you're competing for the Davis Cup.
But this is the Bill Davis
Cup. But this is the Bill Davis Cup, yes.
We got to get one of them trophies that Ralph gets at the Safety Award.
Exactly. This is the Bill Davis Cup. 2025 winner, Bill Davis Cup.
I think I know why you guys are echoing.
What?
Why's that?
Because you guys are picking up each other because you're so close. Going to drop your mics a little bit and just talk a little bit closer.
How about if I move in?
There you go.
What if I do this?
There you go. It's already
it's
better.
An angle thing, which it's, I kind of figured.
It's already better.
It's already better. It is. Wow.
It's already better.
It's still a little bit, but...
No, it's better.
We need those cups that they put like around the dog's head, like the veterinary. Put it around the microphone.
The microphone.
Yeah.
It's all good.
All right. So for the convention, which is coming, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but it's only about, what, 4 months away, five months away? March 22nd, 2026. And we're going to have the Bill Davis Cup.
Bill Davis Cup.
Competing for the Bill Davis Cup.
Competing for the Bill Davis Cup. Absolutely, without a doubt. That will be absolutely perfect. And we're bringing Howard, when Howie made the phone?
Oh, the phone thing.
I got it upstairs.
You got it upstairs.
It's upstairs.
Exactly. We're going to bring that. I want to hang it on the wall somewhere so people can go and pretend to call Jersey and try to get in touch with Mrs. Schwartz. That's going to be just fantastic. The whole thing is just going to be good.
That thing, if you look at it and you look at the one that's in the show, it's 99%.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's like 99% accurate.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It really is ridiculous. Amazing. It really is ridiculous.
I mean, think about the photo. If you haven't been to the convention, next year you got to get there if you haven't, because, I mean, now think of all the photo ops. You got a Carney hat.
Yes.
You got the backdrop, which was awesome. Yep. The backdrop. And then... And now you got the phone on the wall, which is identical. I mean,
The categories for the $99,000 answer.
Yes,
categories, the board,
Brother Norton. Categories board.
Yeah, have that. Yeah,
from Brother Norton. Yeah, yes, exactly.
We're actually creating an actual Honeymooners universe, a physical universe.
That would be cool call it the Honeymooners universe.
Yeah,
that would actually be a good idea.
Yeah,
I think. I'm going to look into getting things you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like
it's like a cone, like they put around a dog's head when the veterinarian.
Right.
We're going to put around the microphone.
Watch. So put your hands like this.
Yeah, because you put it like this and you hear it a little better.
A little bit better.
Yeah, a little better.
They make them.
Yeah. Hear me now? You hear me now?
Yep.
Hear me
now? Just a little bit of echo. Yeah.
A little bit.
That's it.
Like I said, you're right, because these are so sensitive. They are picking up. We were picking up each other.
Picking up each other, exactly. Which means we're going to have to put
room,
Ron.
Well, the room, too, is accurate.
The room is, you got brick wall and
brick
stuff.
Brick walls here. Well, and a wooden floor. And I may have to put carpeting down.
That's right.
Heck with the wooden floor.
It's true.
I'll put carpeting down.
It's the, just, again, I'm no expert, but I in my field of music and recording studios and all that stuff working, there's a reason why studios are so deadened. So
yes. You don't hear that. Yeah, this is not.
Do you think we're going to have a problem hearing Ron? I think
not. We could turn off all our microphones. Turn his off and just let him pick up on them.
Anyway, Bill Davis Cup. Yay.
That's a Bill Davis.
It's
going to be awesome.
Yes, it's going to be fantastic. I know you wanted to.
I just got a text from Ron. 10 minutes to Albany's.
All right, you want me to play the outro music now?
Yeah.
Okay. You want me to just get it?
All right.
Pac-Man.
I'm going to leave this to you guys. I'm going to leave the set because we're not going to hear him ring the bell. I don't know if Wendy's going to hear it either. So.
Oh.
So I'm going to go upstairs and wait for him.
Okay.
Okay. Right back.
How close is he?
10 minutes. Oh.
Okay. All right. What should we play?
We could play ping pong on this table, put a net across.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I might do? I might try to do a what do you call it? Because now I now that I'm an expert making videos and stuff like that, I have all these things now that I save in my file thing for my for my phone and and stuff like that.
You have an emerald green phone.
Very
Wizard of Oz.
Cool. Yeah.
Ozish.
By the way, I've always said this, the most quoted movie of all time is The Wizard of Oz.
Interesting.
People like to say Goodfellas or Godfather, but there are so many lines in The Wizard of Oz that are still being quoted today.
Sure.
You know, whether it's "If I only had a brain," "Follow the yellow brick road," "Ding dong, the witch is." I mean, it goes, dude, I'm telling you, you could do an episode of a podcast on all of the lines from The Wizard of Oz that are still being done today. And the Honeymooners are a close second.
Listen,
for us.
I was just in the grocery store the other day and two women were talking to each other and one of them said to the other one, "You know how?" So, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's spreading like wildfire.
Yes, it is. You know, it is. I want to just, this is a flub that somebody sent us. Joseph Libero.
Okay. Joseph Libero.
Joseph Libero.
Okay.
"Hello, boys. Love what you do. Keep it going. On episode 141, you played the Bill Davis clip in front of MSG. There is a flub. He meant to say he took a business trip, but he said bruh-isness trip. I watched the episode today and was laughing for 30 minutes.
Wow.
Just like every episode, I've seen it 5,000 times, but still cry laughing all the time. Thanks, guys. Joe in Fort Lauderdale."
That's fantastic. Okay.
I want to check it out.
Play?
Yeah. It would just take me a second to...
one Mississippi.
And what's good about this one, I know that this is... Because the only problem with this list of all the episodes, it's just numbered. So there, you don't see the name of the episode, but... I know it's the last episode, you know. I would like to hear this. I would be very curious on this. All right, let's get to...
"I have to see it for myself. Certainly it's nice seeing you again."
Okay. All right.
"You wouldn't talk that way if you'd seen a fight 3 weeks ago down
there." I'll put it down here.
"He was fighting McHenry? Oh, boy, he was bobbing and weaving there, doing the old one, too. I'm telling you, he threw so many punches at McHenry, thought he was fighting an octopus. Oh, I'm telling you, he was a different man that night."
"He won, huh?"
"No, but he didn't get knocked out till the second round." "You please go in. I'll go in there and say hello to him instead of waiting. I'll be right out."
"All right, make it as short as the fight."
"All right."
"Hey, Ralph! Boy, this is luck. After I lost you in the crowd, I figured I'd never see you again."
"Hiya, Bill." "You see, the reason I had to run down here was my friend was anxious to see one of the fighters that was on the card tonight. Well, certainly it's nice seeing you again."
"Oh, nice to see you, Ralph, after all these years. Tell me, how's Alice?"
"Oh, she's fine, fine."
"You know, in the old days, if anybody would have said that you and I would be shaking hands and talking friendly, we would have thought they were crazy."
"Yeah, we had a lot of fights."
"We certainly..."
"Well, we're grown up now."
"Yes, we certainly have."
"You're grown up now."
"Just, we had some buttes."
"What are you laughing at?"
"I was just thinking of the thing I wrote in your autograph book. Boy, you were sore about that. Today it's something to laugh at."
"What thing in my autograph book?"
"Some kids are small, some kids are tall. Fatso Cramden is the only kid who walks down the hall, wall to wall." funny, isn't it, huh?
Very funny.
"Oh, I want to keep you waiting."
"Oh, Norton, this is Bill Davis. This is my friend, Ed Norton."
"Hey, slip me five so I know you're alive."
"Yeah. Glad to know you. Glad to know you."
"Well, how are you doing?"
"Oh, great. Couldn't be better. You know, I moved to Chicago. Got my own manufacturing business. My headquarters in Chicago. My plants are in Akron. I'm figuring on opening a branch office in New York, so my wife and I took a business trip. Hey, how about you, Ralph?"
Business?
There it is. A business trip.
Business trip.
He said business trip,
yep.
Which, of course, is a spoonerism because he was trying to say business and the R in the trip. And he said, Brisness trip.
Excellent. Good catch.
Wow.
Good catch.
That is a really good catch. Yeah. Joe Libero. Or Libero in Florida,
yeah,
definitely needs a hobby.
Yes, he does.
Because for you to pick up on that one, that you
need a new nurse.
And when he goes, glad to know you. We were talking about that one day. Me and Lou were like, "Who says glad to know you?" Was that an old? Was that an old thing?
That one's like a new one on me. I can't figure that one out. I've never heard anyone say that or anything.
Glad to know you. I mean, grammatically, and it makes sense. Yeah. Like, glad to know you, but I've never heard anybody say that.
It's like, nice to meet you. Glad to meet you.
For all intents and purposes, it could have possibly been a flub. Where he just, in his head, you know, nice to meet you. Yeah, glad to know.
Glad to know you.
You're live on stage and stuff just happens. So
that could,
it could have been a flub.
Yeah.
Because it's odd. It's very odd. It could, you know.
I am thinking that might be. Yeah, it could be. But anybody listening, send us an email or whatever. Let us know if you've ever heard of that being something that was in the, I forget what they call it, not the Matrix, but whatever, in the ethos, in the ethos at the time, you know? Because I'm curious on that. Because now, whenever I see, all I hear is glad to know you.
Glad to know you.
That's all I hear now when he says that. It's like a big thing in my head now. Glad to know you.
A couple hours from now, we'll probably open up the podcast niche, and Gary will be like, "Oh, I say it all the time. You know, my grandfather said it.
Part of my vernacular."
Well, I can't make fun of him for picking that out because I heard something that I need to pick out.
Oh,
go on stage. So go to on stage. I can even tell you
the minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I just don't know the which episode, that number that is. I have to look that up. So gotcha. It's on stage.
It's on stage. I would say put it at like, 12.
Oh, I think I just heard
the bell. Hold on. Thelma, get the door. What do you want?
Luke, can you get the door?
What do you want?
And somebody's at the door. And do everything while I get my hair in.
Somebody's at the door.
She's bringing them in. There we go.
Honey,
there he is. I'll get this ready.
Thank you.
At 13 minutes.
How's it going?
Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Let me get Twitter. Dude, this looks fantastic in here.
Is this great or
it's
what?
It's cool, right?
Man, this looks great.
Right?
Yeah, so, dude, can you tell me, John McTomeo, my divorce lawyer, is right over
here. Oh, here you go.
Yes, Tomeo, Newmark, and Ziggy. Yes.
You got enough room there?
I'll move back. What do I care? I'm loaded.
You're loaded. Yeah, I'm loaded.
This is great.
It's cool.
Okay.
We're just trying to get
if your mic is a little echoey. Just see what it, how you're.
Check. One, two, 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 two.
A little bit.
Hey.
A little bit.
Joe Conti.
Actually, I'm better.
A little bit. We're going to try to get the get that out there. All right, 31. Yeah, welcome, Ron. Well, happy birthday, man. It's happy birthday too, Ron. Glad to know you.
We were just talking about that.
I don't know, Michael Bruce. I'm very happy.
Now, ask Ron, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Glad to Know You?
Never.
Okay.
Another one, never.
We're all in that same thing.
I tend to think it was a flub. He just said whatever came out of his face at that moment.
I think if you're talking about Gleason, right?
No,
Bill Davis.
This is Bill Davis.
He's a disaster. Glad to know you. I think he was supposed to say glad to meet you, right?
That's what we're thinking.
What if he'd said it twice because he knew he screwed up to make it sound like legit? Glad to know you.
Yeah. He kind of put it in the oeuvre.
He tried to sell it.
Yeah.
And that's my first big word here, oeuvre, of Bill Davis. You know what I mean? The style of Bill Davis. Yes. You know, he's a bulldozer, as we used to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't bulldoze me. And You know what I mean? I think he was trying to say, yeah, glad to know you. Glad to know you. He's a caquerón, too. We could say that, Bill Davis. Oh, here he comes. He's coming in now. He's from my divorce lawyer. Dominic, great to pass your place. $300,000. $300,000 it cost me. Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Part of the tender memories.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the money when I was driving on Jefferson Avenue. I saw all the money flying in the air. Yeah,
fancy car there.
Yeah. So, we're coming at you live. Yes.
I was wondering if I saw your attorney. I saw a guy with a big bag full of money. His license plate was a vanity plate. It said, get the bag.
Dude, that dinosaur image in that episode is insane. That artwork we were talking about in the background in that episode.
Oh, yeah.
The prop department really must have been on the balls of their beep.
What are we talking about?
There's an image in the background in the Fortune episode. Come now, Fortune.
Okay. Yeah. Like the pictures.
Okay.
It's of dinosaurs. It's like really? They ran down to the Smithsonian and stole this tapestry and hung it up for the scene. It is unbelievable.
They figured they used that president's thing twice. They couldn't use that a third time.
I didn't even.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to look
so
at
when
it.
So when they first walk in or while they're sitting down?
Well, it's in the shot.
It's in the shot.
But when they do sit,
you can see
more of it. And, you know, back then, it's funny. When I do my shows, I talk about how I used to love to read books about dinosaurs when we were kids. All of us, right?
Yeah, who didn't? Yeah.
But back then, it was like, there were these things called dinosaurs, and they had four legs.
Exactly.
Now we know a million things. They might have had feathers. They might have flown and this and that. And alligators have a line to knowing them or whatever. But, so that image is a real bizarre. You'll see dinosaurs in their presumed natural habitat of walking around, right? They're like in a jungle. It's unreal.
Wow.
Eating
treetops, you know.
Yeah, that's what she had there. Yeah,
that was her artwork taste.
Yeah. Mrs. Monahan.
Mrs. Monahan was really,
she was definitely part of the
She's 400. She's in uptown New York, and she's got a tapestry of dinosaurs.
Come, Fortune, eat your dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah.
Come, Fortune, eat your stegosaurus.
Brontosaurus burger.
Unbelievable. So now, Ron, we're going to go. Yes. Mike wanted us to go to on stage.
Who's Mike? I only know Michael Bruce.
I'm sorry, Michael Bruce.
Oh, yeah. Glad to know you.
Glad to know you.
That might be the name of this episode, by the way. Where do you want to go?
Go 13 minutes, and here's what you're listening for.
Okay.
And you guys have had things on the show before where one, you know, you watched a million times, but then suddenly you discovered something and now you cannot unhear it.
Yeah,
you can't unhear it.
Yep.
So he is going to eventually say, you know, after inexperienced actors are thrown in the last minute, right? There's an audience member as clear as a whistle go, ha ha. Like, and he does this ha ha. Oh. And once you hear it, you'll never unhear it.
Yeah, what is the cue for it? What does he say? Inexperienced actors
at the last minute. Ha ha. Okay. You're going to hear an audience member. I'm like, I think it just comes from me listening to them, not watching them.
Apparently, it was an unexperienced audience member who actually did that.
Yes.
So one person
in
the audience.
Go right ahead and add this to the official top three weird audience noises with.
Yes.
And
the guy who sounds like Jackie Martling laughing.
It is a very, like he was a time traveler.
Yes.
Exactly. And the other one, of course, would be what? What's the other one?
Oh,
huge.
Well, the don't fall down.
Steady now.
Steady now. Yep. I bet you it's the same girl.
Yes.
I'm convinced it was the same person.
I was thinking we should do like a top 10 audience responses, you know?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But wait till you hear it. Anyway, check this one out.
Right? I think that's it.
There's
only three of them.
The ha-ha. It's probably the only person who laughed in the whole audience. It's probably what you heard.
Yeah,
maybe.
The only one that thought it was funny.
Right. Just hear it.
It was probably Leonard Stern's daughter. She was like, my dad wrote that joke, so I'm going to laugh at that one for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, play it, Joe.
Okay, here we go. I'm at like 12:43, so I can put the microphone down on there.
There you go.
Yep.
This is how we do this, Ron. Watch this.
Because we can't have the computer hooked up with four mics,
right.
So I just do this.
Watch this.
Ralph, he's coming to the show because he's a friend of Mr. Faversham's. He's not going to find any future stars at the Raccoon Lodge. He's looking for professional actors.
Well, now that shows how much you know about show business. You're always talking about something you don't know anything about. Just remember this, that Gregory Peck was an usher at the music hall, you know.
You know.
When they found him. And Kirk Douglas was a soda jerk. So there's a chance for me.
Sure. You could become an usher at the music hall or a soda.
No, 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 wait, Joe, you're not in the right spot.
Did we miss that? Or?
No,
by
no,
the way,
no,
that, you that, know, is...
You know.
She used it in the same episode. Yeah. He's using it.
Unless I looked at the number wrong, the actual, when you hear that, it's at 1340.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to...
I'm at 1320 right now.
Oh, that's not right. Okay, it must be later then. You got to go to where he's saying there's inexperienced actors. How could they do this to me? You got to go to that. This is like not. We're not there yet. I don't think, are we?
Is Norton in the room when he's doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go ahead.
Norton's
you
in the
go
room.
Ahead.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, I must have wrote down the or either that or
how
my time thing was different than yours. I don't know.
Is a buried joke.
Oh, love
that,
it.
Yeah. No, yeah, I love it too. And it's
nothing.
The way he's centered in that shot is so cool too. That's a really.
And he does it in his actor
just go
voice.
To where they're saying that Cassidy, you know, I fit Hannigan's costume.
Because Norton comes in right afterwards. Yeah. So it's probably right then, right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here he comes.
Hey, Ralph, did you hear the news? Joe Hannigan's got the flu. He can't be in a play tonight.
He's not going to be in a play.
No.
That's impossible. He's got a big speech in the last
I say
play.
Joe once?
Well, what are we going to do? Who's going to take his place?
Edward Norton, thespian, to the rescue.
Are you crazy? You don't fit Hannigan's part.
Maybe not, but I fit Hannigan's costume.
I will not go on tonight.
Oh, Ralph, what are you talking about?
Love it. Look, how do they expect me to give a finished performance when they throw inexperienced actors in at the last minute?
Wow.
There
never
it is.
Heard that. Never heard that.
Now it sounds like, oh my God.
Never heard that. 70 years.
Is that 70?
That, is that incredible?
That now it's going to be the loudest thing in this episode.
Oh, it is very loud.
It is pretty loud.
You'll hear it louder than Gleason.
This person just louder explodes.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, Joe.
That's not bad.
It's like a mocking ha-ha. Like they're in on
it's
it.
It's like when people, when you laugh by yourself, you look around and like, is anybody else laughing? Yeah,
right.
And by the way, for Louis, finished performance.
Performance.
Louis goes nuts for that.
Finished performance.
When I was staying the other day,
in one of the soda jerk threads between all of us.
The soda jerk and the usher at the
usher
musical
hall.
Favorite line in all 39. My favorite line.
That yes. The combination of him saying it and then her saying it.
It's my favorite.
It's so funny.
It's my favorite.
And especially
she just like, bounces right back.
It's so deflating. Yeah. She's just harpooning him.
Yeah. Harpooning this guy.
And he did like one of them fly around the room.
But nothing stops him. It's the funniest thing. She's, you know, launching these direct hits.
Yes.
And nothing is stopping him.
No. Because he's right now, he's Reginald Van Gleason. He's Reginald Van Gleason.
The voice, the whole thing.
That is Reggie, right? Yeah. I wanted to make sure we put that forth because some listeners don't realize that.
Yep. I think that's it.
I think that's as close in his battery of characters. Mm-hmm. That's Reggie Van Gleason.
Yeah. Yes.
Ooh, that's good booze.
Yeah.
Yes.
Using the voice.
The only thing he's not doing is somersaults. I mean, that's it. If he would do a somersault, he would be Reginald Van Gleason.
And Reggie takes it closer to him just being Gleason, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of these episodes lately I've been watching, I could see where he's being more Gleason than Ralph, too. Because we would text each other and say these are lines that a bus driver would never say.
Never say.
So if they're ad-libbed, you know that's something that Gleason would say.
Yes.
You know, and come up
with.
Well, the episode that we just did yesterday, but I brought up when he's got all the gags for the convention. And he goes, and here is the pièce résistance. And I'm like, what bus driver says
this is what
pièce
I'm saying.
Résistance? That's exactly what
there needs to be a vocabulary database of expressions and things and slang. This is somebody at Toot Shores.
Yeah.
This is somebody over there. And it's not a bus driver at all.
Nope.
And the more you watch this, I'm sure you boys will agree with me, and the listeners too, Silk City Hot Sauce, that... There is so much more improv going on Gleason's part. It's never really dawned on me before. Hi, Dawn.
Hey.
And if that's for me, I'm in a shower.
Hello?
That Gleason.
Shut up.
That This show should have been called Gleason by the Seat of His Pants.
Yes.
We're going to take an actor and not show him the script and see if he can follow the story.
Yeah, we'll give you a synopsis of the episode. Yeah.
What's going on?
Ralph backs it a play. Go. See you in 18 minutes.
It's like a TV guide description. Right. Ralph acts in a play.
That's it. And you got to get to the end. And I love the
Ralph
irony.
Yells at Ed.
The laced in irony of Alice. Alice, because there's nobody else on screen. She's the one that has to say he's not looking for any actors from the
lodge. Raccoon lodge. Yeah.
And meanwhile, she's the one that he wants.
Yeah. Well, that's what I always said. The irony. In fact, Ralph was correct. He was, because he was right that he was looking for somebody. Yep. He was there. Not
intentional
just
writing, but it's just a blessing of the writing because Alice had to deliver this thing that, yes, Ralph actually was right on target.
He was on target. Yeah.
Except
he wasn't. It wasn't him.
It wasn't Ralph.
Could we talk about the Freddie Muller?
Muller.
Part of this.
Muller.
At the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The end. Remember when we were little, we played with slinkies?
Yes.
Well, this is the slinky all the way close. This last scene, folks, okay? This episode is like this. Opening. I'm doing an opening and closing thing with my hands, listeners. Theater of the mind. And
It's an accordion.
He's doing an accordion for you Italians out there. Yeah. Very heavy instrument. How do people play this? Pat Tana, if you're listening, she's an awesome accordion player. And she was a tech director. Yes, Connie Francis. Yeah. That's right. People forget that, but she had that versatility.
Yep.
Yeah. So the end scene is so shoehorned together. And you have to fit in Mueller.
Oh.
You have to fit in Mueller. And you have to fit in that bastard, Faversham. No, not Faversham. Herbert J. Whiteside. He's in the Hall of Bastards. He just won't even speak without looking at Faversham. He has to talk for him most of the time. We were just talking about the other day. I'd love to see him square off in a debate with the raccoon, almighty raccoon guy, Grand Exalted Mr. Ruler.
Yes. Oh, Morris Fink.
They could really go at it together.
Oh, man.
But anyway, you were saying about the end scene, or somebody was saying.
Freddie Mueller.
Yes.
Walks in, right?
Yes.
He's the entertainment committee chairman.
Right.
And he's happy because first time they made money.
Ralph's wardrobe is weird, by the way. They threw a robe on him to convey he's an actor.
And that neck thing?
Yeah.
It's a cravat.
Ascot, that's right.
Is that a cravat? I think it's a cravat. That would be a cravat, yes. Short for cravata, Italian word for tie.
Right. Yes. And
by the way, by the way, when Ron says those types of things, like you just said, it's a cravat. If you don't know what Ron looks like, it's like watching Ralph say the pièce resistance. I mean, Ron is a rock star, and I'm like, he should be like, but he's like, it's a crevasse. Yes. And I'm like, what is a crevasse?
Giuseppe Conti, awesome insight. I'll see you New Year's Eve.
Yes, okay.
So, Freddie Mueller walks in,
yeah,
and Ralph is all like excited. Ralph's all excited.
We just talked about
How was I, Fred?
You were great.
You were good too, Ralph.
He doesn't give a shit about what Ralph's asking.
Doesn't care. You were sitting next to Faversham and Whiteside. What did they have to say about me? Freddie says, "Oh, Ralph, I really wasn't paying attention. I was so engrossed in the show."
Yes.
You're engrossed in this play? How engrossed can you be listening to someone say, "Rachel, you
right?" I mean, first of all.
But yet he doesn't know anything about it.
I think a great man named Louis Fats said, this must have been the most awful play in the world. And why would you choose this for a bunch of guys in Brooklyn?
That's true.
A love story like this.
Yes,
like
of
this about a rich guy on an estate?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like Wuthering Hills?
Wuthering Heights.
Wuthering Heights. This is like a Wuthering Heights movie. Like, listen, I saw Heathcliff. It because I'm watching
Heathcliff.
It's boring, but it's well written. Yeah. But for a guy, you're just like, oh my God. But this is the same thing. Yeah. And I always wanted to pose this. I don't know if I ever did. What do you think this play was called? Like, you never get the name of the play.
No title given.
That was brought up on the podcast group. That was brought up on.
It was.
Was it? Okay.
Podcast group. People started putting names to the play.
It's a shame you never had a kid life.
Oh, yeah. Really?
But okay, you're right.
That. Yeah. You know, check out the podcast group page. And
so what were some of them, Michael Bruce?
I can't remember, but there's a list of them there. People started checking.
Well, here's the other thing.
I remember one. One was argues too much. I'm sorry. Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But wait a minute. Why was that?
The list. I'm sorry.
I think I put the name of the
sweetest guy in the world. Why that plot twist in this play is so odd that she does go for Hamilton.
Well, don't believe that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful too, by the way. And that's Gleason. That's Gleason just talking. That. It's his voice. It's that. Not even
don't
Ralph.
Don't believe
just,
that.
Yeah. Gleason just totally forgets everything halfway through this episode. Like, he only really studied the first few pages. I mean, of the Honeymooners thing, not the movie.
That movie.
Yeah. This thing ain't playing a double bill at Murder Strikes Out anytime soon.
Well, he even says to her, where am I?
Yeah.
It's just right. Actually point
he's
out.
He's fully lost.
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay.
Shot. Where
this
am
is
I?
Interesting.
I don't even know where, he goes, I don't even know where I am.
Why the plot twist if she does fall for the rich guy? It's just so strange. I guess, even if you are rich.
Even if you are, yeah.
Like, what? Where does that even come? Who writes that? Yeah. It's so strange.
It's so corny even because she's so unmaterialistic and she's so for true love that I'll love you even if you are rich.
You're thinking a staff writer on a honeymoon at CBS in 1955 thought that deeply.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, all right,
because it makes the joke or it makes the whole thing at the end because, hey, I come back to you at the end anyway.
Right. Well, of course, don't believe that. That's really the impetus in the writing. Yes. She had to be with Ralph.
Yeah.
And then that makes sense. And then the whole thing of, well, it was the love scene.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted, and I wasn't acting.
And
that
it couldn't
was
ever
us.
Be in a love scene with Norton.
Yeah, it can't be enough to Norton.
That's like
really
a foreshadowing to the ending.
So you were right, but you were wrong. You got us to right.
You sound like my wife.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Hi, Beverly.
Your wife?
Your wife.
Yo, what?
It's my cue.
Y-A-W-R.
Second time today, I missed Lou, my cue.
I beat you to that. Come on now. That's just ridiculous.
It's the new surroundings.
Look out, because this
I'm
time-
I'm not used to them.
I'm out to get
you. Oh, look out now.
I like the sound in here. Check. One,
Jordan
two.
You're like,
New Jersey. 101.5.
That's what it sounds Check. Like.
It's a little too clean in here, but other than that, I like it.
I want to play that again. I just want to hear that hot thing again.
Oh, it's great.
It's unbelievable.
It's fantastic. It is a great... all right, here we go.
It's going to come over now so loud.
Yeah, exactly. Oops.
Dead air here. What are you doing? Oh my God. All of a sudden, we went
into out this.
You have Ron Albany's here. How do we come up with dead air?
I didn't even know I'm reading his notes over here. Where am I? You know,
right?
That's like she was getting flustered.
You hear the news? Joe Hannigan's got the flu. We can't be in a play tonight.
They only say Joe
He's
once.
He's not going to be in a play. No. That's impossible. He's got a big speech.
It's impossible.
Well, what are we going to do? Who's going to take his place?
What is this? Strange choice of words.
Norton Thespian to the rescue. Are you crazy? You don't fit Hannigan's part. Maybe not, but I fit Hannigan's costume.
I will not go on tonight.
It's so good.
Oh, Ralph, what are you talking about?
Look, how do they expect me to give a finished performance when they throw inexperienced actors in at the last minute?
It's like it's an actor on stage. Literally involved in the scene.
If Audrey wasn't in the scene, I would think that was Audrey Benham.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Joe,
it's that close to the mics.
It's really close.
It's like the one with Uncle Leo. Hey. Remember when Uncle Leo comes in and she's off. You don't see her. It's Ralph and Uncle Leo.
It's like his weird edit.
We hear like this weird edit of something.
Hey. Yes.
Yeah. And we're saying, who said that?
For no reason.
Yeah, no reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah. Except this is just somebody in the audience. This is great.
Ron, what do you think about that word speech?
I think
I was always bothered by that word.
What do you mean?
When he says he has a big speech in the last act.
Oh, okay.
How would you
It should describe, be a big monologue.
Or something. The word just to me doesn't...
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's supposed to be. He's got a big monologue at the end.
I would say that you'd use the word dialogue or two. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's got a big part at the end. He's got a lot of dialogue.
Big part at the end.
A speech is Gleason, seat of his pants. He just wants to get out of there and go to Two Shores.
Yeah,
that's right. That's Gleason who said
all
that.
All Gleason.
And then Norton.
Speech.
Speech is weird. I always said that word. That's got to be another word for that.
And now let's see the entertainment.
Now Norton's...
This is all new to me. Costume. That I never picked up on the fact that Gleason was completely lost in the second half of this episode.
Yeah. Oh,
and the more you bring it up, the more I'm seeing it.
You know what he learned? He learned a Faversham segment in the beginning. Because he really delivered that and set that up, that they are going to do a play. He studied that scene, if he studied anything in this episode.
And he's really screwing it up reading something.
Because you're telling him he's hamming it up. He knows he could improv the second half of this episode.
Right.
Like he does. The Rachel sound. Yep. He's hamming it up. He calls on his characters. He calls on actors of the day, which he's, you know, again, who is he doing in the beginning? Is that Cagney or no?
No, Norton does Cagney.
John
Barrymore?
Barrymore.
You said it was John Barrymore.
Yeah, one of our friends said he's doing, a movie buff, he said he's doing Barrymore.
Because Barrymore, didn't he do silent movies too?
Yes, silent
and that's what it is. He's doing the,
eyes like that, you know, overacting with the eyes and whole.
Yeah, yeah. So I think he really learned that first part to put that over the top. And, you know, the Raccoon Lodge scenes were always very interesting anyway. Oh,
the lodge.
How ironic is it that...
I'm Ron.
Yes, there two. That'd be two of
it's
these.
It's I,
two
Michael, Ron's. Ick, two.
Yeah. Isn't it ironic that is it? Ron is in the word ironic?
Yes. Yeah.
That you're talking about an episode where Gleason's completely going nuts, not acting... And the script about the show is about acting.
Oh, that's funny.
He's the least prepared actor in a show that's about acting.
But I think he knew he could riff it. They'd say, hey, you're going to riff. You're going to be the star. He's like, oh, okay, I can do that. I don't have to look at the script for that.
You said, he calls back his Reggie Van Gleason voice.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody knew that.
I like how
that
it says
he was
going to
do that in the Reggie Van
there
Gleason
There is that
voice.
Other time in the series, right, where he throws in one of the characters and the audience does erupt, right? When he says something somewhere in one of the episodes, it's a call. It's definitely a callback to one of the characters.
Okay,
And I think some of the poor soul.
Oh, the facials. There's a lot of poor soul.
Poor soul's usually at the end when he's apologizing.
He's in the back of Alice, like you know, when he's doing that.
Because those are the most popular characters. Are Reggie and the poor soul. Yep. Unless somebody wants to correct me and say that.
I agree.
Who's the bartender? Joe the bartender. Was also big, but I think, you know, people will remember, especially Poor Saul.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was huge, because the audience kind of connected with that.
Well, because that was pretty much his silent character, which I think is where he got to do that Gigli.
Yeah, Gigo.
Right.
That's a great point.
Yeah. I think that's the point of it, is that the Poor Saul doesn't have to speak. You read everything in his eyes.
Yep.
Because you see, you know, you could see the soul, you know,
the a great facial expression. He could speak with his face.
Yes.
You know, and it, you know, just read his face and you know.
Who were we supposed to see for raffle tickets in that episode on the chalkboard?
Bud Hero?
Bud Hero? No. He's for the dinner dance.
Oh, he's a dinner dance.
I would say you have to see Lou for raffle tickets.
Lou DeAngelis?
Yeah, who we got to go see? Yeah. So, I think, so I think Gleason learned that first part because he had to sell it. He had to sell it. And then after that, he knew he was just going to riff his way out of that.
It's never occurred to me. What about you, Michael Bruce?
What's that?
The fact that Gleason was pretty much lost throughout the second half of this episode. Mm-hmm. It's never occurred to me. How about you?
I mean...
He's lost too.
I don't know. He's
Meadows is guiding him half the time. She's guiding him through that whole scene, Joe.
Remember that one time we were talking about this, and we were talking about Norton. Okay, and he does this Pelopony's thing and throws everybody off. And Alice says, "Why don't you just go upstairs and practice Ed?"
It's like the main written part of that.
And
segment.
He's walking out the door.
Love that.
Practicing.
Yes.
And the timing is so perfect because it's right before String of Pelopony's.
Face.
We don't know what he said on the other side of the door.
And you're listening for it.
You're listening for
it. I'm like, does he say string? Does he say of? I'm listening.
You're listening.
Yes. And even as a kid, I'm saying.
And he just faded out.
Right.
As only R. Carney can do it perfectly.
That's comedic timing.
And we're saying, what did he say in the hallway? Did he say Pelopony's or did he say Polo Ponies?
Wow. Because isn't it twice? Because when he comes down again for the profile, and then he leaves again saying the lines in the hall.
Oh, too scary.
Yes.
Profile.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait, twice?
Twice.
Yes.
Then he does his name.
He does it on
stage.
On stage.
On stage. And safety award when they're taking the picture.
Yes.
Excellent.
My best. Yes. And he does this with the hat.
He does with the hat. And he goes, profile? Yep.
Yeah. He does?
Yes.
He says
and he rubs the rim of his hat when he,
Michael Bruce knows this one, but since you mentioned these two episodes, here's another Tooze theory from these two episodes. Number of times Ralph poses in a doorway.
Yes.
Two times.
Yes.
He does it with the with Dick Prescott. No, not Dick Prescott.
Yes.
The photographer. Photographer, yeah.
Yes. And in the Raccoon Lodge.
When he's coming out.
When he's coming out.
He poses in the doorway. Yes.
Oh, my
God. That's got to be my favorite Tooze theory of all time. That's so bizarre. That's like Twilight Zone now.
Joe, to answer
the doorway.
Joe, what, to answer what am your I looking question.
Oh, 34.
Is that the iPhone 17?
Joe, to answer
16,
your
question. 16, I think.
Oh. Question ahead, more thoroughly.
It could be higher than that.
It never really totally dawned on me, like you're saying.
Hi, Tom.
It's like it's amazing to me now that I'm thinking how Unetos and Carney are carrying him like crazy in that scene.
Please,
it's never occurred to me.
Like they're just carrying him right through it.
It's never occurred to me. And now the more I'm hearing you guys say it and the more I'm thinking about it, the more it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
He's got Carney
and,
he's got Alice.
Do you know how hard it is for me to say that Ron Albanese is making sense? Do you know how difficult that is?
Listeners, we see the consternation in his face right now. And he's leaning backwards and he's
admitting. I'm not looking at the sky. What consolation are you talking about?
Sorry.
Wait a minute.
So now we're, I got the safety award, so we're talking about the end, right? Yep. All right.
We're taking a picture.
Yes.
Yes, okay. They're posing.
And he says,
kind of juts out his...
I love the look.
Hold it. Yeah.
Gleason gives a Carney when he says, take the hat off. Or just the hat.
Yeah,
the
hat. Yeah.
And he just does the...
Gleason does two majorly over-the-top things in this. When he hits him.
Yeah.
And when he does this, they're like sheer anger.
Yeah.
They're like sheer, like over-the-top for the scene, even anger. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, we're going to take a pair. Oh, all right.
Want to arrange?
You can arrange it yourself.
Arrange it?
All right.
Just get close together.
My hat look all right, Ralph?
Huh? How are you? What are you, profile?
There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Wow.
He just yells it. Profile.
Think about that. How ridiculous that is.
Yeah.
Like the arrogance to go, oh, profile. Like this isn't about you, pal.
Right.
This is about your best friend.
Yep. And in true us style, I'm just going to have to bounce back to on stage for a second.
Okay.
When Gleason is totally lost, when she says, you know, and he goes, I'm sitting. And he responds, I'm sitting to something else. She's talking about the script.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm sitting. Yeah. He's just riffing.
I wonder if that's like in the direction of the play. Right. Like
Ralph sits at table.
Right.
But isn't it weird when you're watching, like what Mike says, you're watching actors acting in a play about acting. You know what I mean? It's almost like a mirror looking
those
at another.
Those are always
mirror.
Interesting episodes in sitcoms.
Yeah. I love that.
You know?
I love that.
And I think actors like it.
Yeah.
I bet it is because you're...
Because they get a chance to be bad actors.
Yes.
Yes.
And ham it up a little, step out of their character.
And like, I'm going to be like if an amateur were coming here and taking my place, this is what they would sound like. Norton, he's awful.
He is the Pilgrim episode of Happy Days might have been a little over the top.
A little over the top.
Yeah.
Little over the top.
I'm not acting. That's really acting.
That's a whole other podcast.
One day I was hanging out with Leif Garrett in Maxwell's in Hoboken. And so I started really, really grilling him about his whole Outsiders experience, you know. And he said he flew on a Concorde to you know, audition for that. And this was at the time when nobody knew. I was telling Michael Bruce, that's Michael Bruce.
Yes, by the way.
That Scott Baio auditioned for that. Like anybody who was anybody in Hollywood at the time. But we were doing lines from that, acting lines. Leif Garrett has a history of, you know. Somebody got that.
Okay. Just
got, thank you. I'll be at Uncle Vinny's November 9th. How was that, by the way?
If you were
a carpenter.
No, because I did something so unique.
And you were a lady.
On Wednesday night. I don't know if you guys know, but I'm a kind of an idiot savant with dates, right? I just like...
I'm like
you know,
that with figs.
But...
Get it?
Figs. Like the Jets Super Bowl.
So I made 5 gift bags filled with all the, you know, like a t-shirt and all this other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had the audience try to stump me with trivia. And all that. And it has to be like, you know...
What topics?
Anything,
Chinese
but,
cooking.
But it has to be Chinese cooking. Yeah,
everything.
Table tennis, I think.
Everything. Bridge builder.
So it was all about like you know you would just Yeah, exactly. Bridge
popular songs.
Table tenors. Top popular songs.
Bridge builders.
Bridge builders. Bridge builders.
Name the hair color of the gentleman who did the Seaside Heights bridge.
So basically, it was just you just named something in
the worst
culture.
Bridge in the world, by the way.
What's that?
It's not even spectacular. The bridge going into Seaside Heights. The bridge I thought of. I didn't think of the George Washington Bridge. I didn't think of anything. Golden Gate. I thought of the Seaside Heights. But when it's open, it's murder.
Some calls.
37. Yeah, exactly. So you gave gift bags out to stump you.
But during my set, because I said in the beginning, listen, think of something that, you know, I could possibly know. Like, you know, I gave examples.
What
like,
could you possibly know?
You know, like, when did the Challenger explode? Or when did Forrest Gump come out, right? So during my whole set, if a joke didn't hit that well, I'd be like, all right, this is a perfect time to do a trivia thing, right? Yeah. So I would have all these people try to stump me. And even when I was wrong, except one woman actually went, what year was Genghis Khan born? I'm like, really? We're going back 16 years? I'm talking about the last 70 or 80 years. Even when I was wrong, I was off by 1 year on almost every single question.
Not bad.
Dude, and it turned out to be it was so much fun. Everybody was like, oh, that was so much fun. And the other guys that I was working with, they were like, dude, that was like so much fun to actually do that. You know?
You stumbled onto a new segment.
I don't know. And one of the things was that we gave away was a one of those sex paddles, and it had the word bitch on it backwards.
Wow.
It's just so weird. It's the strangest thing, because my friend had found 100 of them somewhere.
In a warehouse.
I'm telling you. I think it was at Fat Racks Factory.
Did he spearfish with it?
Because he Marilyn thought Monroe's small.
Where?
So it was just kind of strange. But anyway. I'm just blown away by this whole thing.
The Safety Award presented me with a new Tooth series, by the way, when I watched the other day. So there obviously is an episode where I am not worthy of it, which is what?
Oh, good one.
Oh, the deciding vote.
Deciding vote.
The deciding, right.
The loudspeaker.
Yes.
The loudspeaker, right.
Yeah.
Titles are brutal.
I call it Record of the Year. Yeah. Record of the Year, yeah. Right. He's not worthy of it.
He's not worthy of it.
Then also in the, we're talking about it now,
Safety Award.
Safety Award.
He says, I'm not worthy of this.
Yes, I'm not worthy of this award.
Yep.
To worthiness.
I'm not worthy.
Yes.
Wow.
Am I worthy of such an honor?
Yeah.
Am I worthy of such an honor? Yeah. And I am not
worthy. I am not worthy of this honor.
I am not worthy of this. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Two.
I not worthy. Yeah, both times he's going to receive an award. He's not worthy. Right. But meanwhile, he's the most arrogant.
Yeah,
it's a landslide.
Well, doesn't he say I don't deserve it too? I know I don't deserve
it. He's so arrogant, but he never deserves it when they give it to him.
Wait. In part two of this, we're going to talk about the deciding vote. We're talking about that part two.
Okay.
Cool. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah,
love that.
All right, on your paper there.
I got some. Well, let me see. I have a few things.
You know,
right? I got a few things. Yeah, I'll pick this one next. Just a quick one.
Yeah, let's finish up with this.
Yeah,
then we'll stop and then we'll do
part two.
Yeah, we'll take like a 5 minute break.
Yeah, a little 5 minute break.
Okay, so just a quick one here. In my notes is the guy that plays, you know, Stanley, right? Stanley Saxon. I'm just wondering if, like, in the description for the, you know, the couch casting for this or whatever, you know, we need the most pathetic actor,
milk toast.
Because as we all know, he's like that in the, you know, with the bride.
Yeah, the bride. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Here comes the bride.
His overcoat is too large for him, I think.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
But he's so, you know, quite frankly, pathetic in that episode. In the when Stanley, the bus driver in the golfing episode, right? And Pete. You know, he's unbelievably so wimpy. It's like almost drives me crazy.
It's so miscast to have him as a mechanic.
Yeah. He says, because they're like, who started what? And he says,
he was available.
Yeah. He says, well, don't look at me. I got it from Cassidy. It's like, Think about the line they gave him. They used the word Cassidy. Well, don't look at me. I got it from Cassidy.
But as an actor, man, like, he could have changed that up.
He should have been
more rough. Like,
yeah.
Don't look at me. Look,
I got it from him.
Look at George Petrie, man.
Yeah, everybody's just like, rah, 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 muscle, muscle, muscle.
I got to be strong.
Me. I got it from Cassidy. Like,
and here he's dressed up in overalls. Not even in a bus driver's uniform.
He was stuck in Stanley Saxon.
Yeah. Mode. I'm like, oh, my God.
He said, I couldn't so great as Stanley Saxon. I'm going to do it again.
That is fantastic.
I'm going to create some continuity. Here in Honeymooners Universe.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Honeymooners Universe, there it is again.
Honeymooners Universe.
Today. You bring a really interesting topic up, actually, when you compare the performances of these repeat guys.
Yeah.
You know, are they just doing the same one note, one trick pony thing? He obviously did.
He did.
Yeah.
Or are they changing it up? Bill Davis tried to change it up.
He did.
He did. Yeah. He tried to change it up a little bit, but, you know, with mixed results, I'd say. But, you know, Petrie was the best character actor out of
and Marth too. I thought Marth.
Oh, Marth was good. Yeah, great job. But he was more identifiable.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think you could take George Petrie.
Yeah, yeah. He's so tall. So I'm not saying he's a big. You know what I mean? Like, when you got like that big guy.
Yes.
I want to fight that.
So
big
you're
guy.
You're more apt to get typecast.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Want to make something of it?
One last Tooze theory for this episode.
Okay. Go ahead. Excellent.
Tooze theory. So, what two episodes are, or what's the sayings involved with? How long have they been friends? That happens twice.
Oh,
how long have you been friends? Yep.
Yeah, safety, of course.
One says 17 years.
Right? Well, this is the other thing.
We've talked about this.
This is just a straight up, it happens twice in the 39 episodes where somebody's asking, how long have you been friends? So one of it's Ralph and one of it's addressed to Norton. Mm-hmm. So the Norton one, when it's addressed to him, how long have you been friends?
About 150 pounds ago?
Yep. Okay. And then Ralph has a how long have you been friends? And what does he say?
Too long.
Too long.
Oh, that is great.
Yes.
So the two times that they were asked, how long have they been friends? They both made a joke.
We couldn't get a number.
Tore each other up.
Yeah, a number.
Tore each other up.
Mike, what was that large? That was when Norton works in the sewer.
Well, yeah, Lou and I were talking about this on the phone. That's amazing is that there's two different things here. When he's talking about, this is Norton talking.
Norton.
And one time he says 13 years in the sewer, and another time he says 10 years.
Right.
He uses two different years to say how long he's been working in the sewer.
Okay.
And I said to Lou, I go, one of these is a flub. And we figured it out which one was. It was a flub. Which was it? Because if you do the math on how long they've known each other,
yeah, it would be the
way off.
10 years one is way would off.
It was a flub. There's no question it's a flub.
That's pretty wild.
See, now, Gleason's consistent with his 15 years and 16 years. Yeah, I think it says 15, but which is okay because you had season one is 55, season two is 56. So 15 years to 16 years is fine. It fits.
Yep.
Right.
But what about in the Iron episode? Does Norton say, are you there? I wasn't listening to anything you were saying. But
no, I'm saying that's where he says 13 years, right?
That's where he says 13 years.
Okay, so it's 13.
You're right on.
But the 10 years, where's the 10 years from?
Oh.
I'm trying to think of what episode he says 10 years.
10 is odd. Don't you think?
Yeah. That's why I'm convinced it's a flub because he was drawing straws for convinced a number. Neil. He says 10. And 10 10's easy.
Yeah.
It's just 10 years.
10 jeans.
But we're like, there's no way it's 10 years. You know.
Yeah, camping. Mm-hmm. Camping. That was fun. We picked the two things out.
All right.
10 and 13.
All right.
I thought he said 17. It's 13.
It's 13. 13.
Look at me, I'm 13.
13, yep.
All right. Let's
no bakery.
Yeah, let's close this one out. We'll take a 5-minute break because I got to get out of here around 3 o'clock today. But all right, let's, you know what? I'm going to just start playing.
I know it's 3 o'clock.
It's 3 o'clock. All right. So, you guys, we're going to do part two. So we don't know if this is going to come out right away or if we're going to wait a week for the two. But for me and
if
Lou,
it's coming out right away or any other way.
Or any other way.
throwing you out of here. Right?
Episode 143 with Michael Bruce, Ron Alpenice. We thank you guys. And for me and Lou, we'll say we'll see you next time.
Lulu.
Pluribus racunum. I'm going to say Night Owl because we ain't Night Owl.
Oh, that's right. We're not doing Night Owl.
Can't do that.
What's a little dessert and coffee?
promise to give
it to you. Thank you.
Good night.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.
Make sure you cut that.